Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Let them flow in endless praise. For a few minutes this evening, I want us to talk about consecration. Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone here. It's glad to have you visiting with us, Larry. We have much to be busy doing. God has been blessing us richly. We need to keep praying that He does so and see how we can help others. Consecration. This is a term that we usually think of back in the Old Testament, and it is mentioned quite a bit in the Old Testament. But there are principles that we need to understand so that we are applying them today. Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." When we look at the definition, in the Old Testament, there are several Hebrew words. Basically, it means to dedicate to the service of Yahweh, to dedicate to God. Another meaning of it is separate. We are separated as with the Nazarites. We are separated for the service of the Lord. Consecrate occurs 35 times in 34 verses in the Bible, in the New King James Version. Consecration occurs 11 times in 11 verses, but we just don't talk about it too much. Now, there is several passages that carry this concept along. They don't use the exact word. Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we are not to live for ourselves. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, not to be conformed, but to be transformed. 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Again, this idea of separation, of being set apart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." So these passages deal with the concept of consecration, of being set apart for the Lord's service, not to serve ourselves. There is a passage I want us to focus on this evening. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. The thought in here, I believe, is very beautiful. We're going to break it down and look at it as it applies to consecration. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning at verse 4. "Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. Your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. We're going to see how this applies to consecration. Notice in verse 14, all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. And these words, there are four very precious thoughts that I want to try to get across to you. This is a very simple sermon, very hard to implement in our lives. So number one, God is owner of all and gives all to us. Number two, we have nothing but what we receive, but everything we need we may receive from God. Number three, it is our privilege and honor to give back to God what we receive from Him. And number four, God has a double joy in His possessions when He receives back from us what He gave. When I apply this to my life, to my body, to my wealth, my property, to my whole being with all of its powers, with all of my strength, then I start to understand what consecration ought to be. So number one, first point, it is the glory of God and His very nature to be always giving. Think about this. God has given us everything, and God is the owner of all. There's no power, no riches, no goodness, no love outside of God. Everything that we have, where did it come from? God. As we talked about this morning, I have nothing. I have nothing. I own nothing. It all belongs to God. God has just entrusted it to us for a short time. So I must see that everything that I have is given by God. And I must learn to believe in God as the great owner and giver of all. And when we learn that lesson, we start to become more consecrated to God, prepared and ready for His service. James 1:17, we find every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is the giver of all things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Again, why do we pray to God? Because we know that He can give us things. Even when we go out and work, He has given us the job. He has given us the ability. He has given us the things necessary to perform that job. And He wants to give us what is good. We understand that. A child, he goes and asks his father for bread. Is a father going to give him a stone, a rock? No. If he asks for a fish, is his father going to give him a serpent? No. See, the father, we understand as physical fathers, we love our children. And if our children ask of something, we want to give them what is good. We also learn from this, our Father, God, wants us to ask Him. He wants us to ask. The second verse of the song, Take My Life and Let It Be, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Never be afraid whatever God asks, for God only asks what is His own. What He asks you to give, he will first himself give to you. What does God ask us to give to him? He asks us to give him our time, our talents, our life, our money. But again, where did all of that come from? It came from God. It came from God. The second point, just as it is the nature and glory of God to be always giving, it's the nature and glory of man to be always receiving. We receive things from God every day, every minute, all of our life. We are receiving. And sometimes we fall into the trap and we forget about God. We forget that God is the giver of everything. God owns everything and gives everything. We fall into the trap that we think, look at what I did, look at what I made, look at what I accumulated. And it's just me, me, me. And it's gimme, gimme, gimme. It's gimme more, gimme more, gimme more. But just as it is the nature and glory of God to be always giving, it's the nature and glory of man to be always receiving. We are always on the receiving end. So, what can be more simple? We come as a vessel, a container, that's cleansed, that's emptied and humble, and then we come and God delights in filling us up. Back to our text, 1 Chronicles 29. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. So David recognized that everything that the people had came from God. Who am I that we should be able to offer so willingly? All things come from you. We do not have anything that we have to bring to God is something that he already gave us. Verse 3, take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Filled with messages from thee. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We want our life to be consecrated. Point number 3, if God gives all and I receive all, then the third thought is very simple. I must give back to him. Very simple. It's the circle of giving and receiving. God gives to us, we receive it, we give back to him. What do we give? 1 Chronicles 16:29, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96:8, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? We are going to be worshiping God, serving God, giving to the Lord the glory due his name. Friends, we need to learn that lesson now. If we don't learn that lesson now, we aren't going to learn it when we pass from this life. We need to give to the Lord what's due him. David felt it. He said, Lord, what an unspeakable privilege it is to be allowed to give that back to you, which is your own. Just to receive and then to give back in love to him as God, what he gives. You think about how much God loved when he gave to us. We need to have that same love when we give back to God and to others. So we've got three thoughts now. God gives all, I receive all, I give up all. Now we've got to ask, are we willing to do this now? Will our heart say, God, teach me to give up everything? But what do we want to do? We want to hang on. We want to hang on to our time. We want to hang on to our money. We want to hang on to our possessions. And, you know, I repeat the story quite often because it always stuck in my mind. And it illustrates the point. This is a true story. A doctor, he went into a repair shop with his chainsaw, And he said, I want to get my chainsaw fixed. I'm going to loan it to my neighbor. And the guy in the shop said, you're going to loan your chainsaw? I would never loan a chainsaw to my neighbor. They might mess it up. And the doctor told the man, he said, well, you know, I figure if Christ could die for my neighbor, the least that I could do is loan him my chainsaw. But you see, we think everything is ours. I don't want to loan my chainsaw. I don't want to loan my car. I don't, you know, somebody might mess it up. They might do something to it. Friends, we need a heart that recognizes that everything that we have came from God. We need to use it for His honor and glory and give it up. So God gives all, I receive all, I give all. So then the fourth thought comes, God rejoices in what we give to Him. See, this, just like we talked about before, that money is a tool and a test, so is giving. It's a test. And when we give back, our Father is happy. God rejoices in what we give to Him. This process of giving and receiving. We've all seen this, again, in physical cases. Have you ever seen a mother or a father and a small child, and they take a cookie or something, and they hand it to the child, and the child takes a bite out of it, and then what does the child do? It holds it up to mommy or daddy, and here, they want to share. They want to give the person, they want to give the giver some of what they were just given. And your God, He loves and longs to have you give Him everything. And it's not a demand, it's not a command, it must be from the heart. It's the call of a loving Father who knows that every gift you bring to God, that's going to bind you closer to Him. And everything we surrender will make our heart open and more wide for God to give us more things. When we have that child and we're holding, and if that child took that cookie and just clutched it and no, you can't have any, but they freely offer it back to the Father. That's what God wants with us. Very easy to understand physically, very hard to apply spiritually in our lives. Verse number 4. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Every power as thou shalt choose. Again, how freely and how tight are we with our money? We live in a society that says you got to have more and more and more. You got to hang on to what you have. Friends, God wants us to let go of what we have. And when we do, He will give us more. That's how we build trust in God. We don't want to build trust in ourselves, because then we're just going to fall. We're going to fall flat on our face. We need to build trust in God. So consecration is to be and abide in continual dependence upon God. It's this constant giving and receiving. God has all, He gives all, we receive all, we give it back to God. This is building trust in God. So what are we going to consecrate? What are we going to consecrate? Well, some things that people don't want to give up. This is kind of obvious. People don't like giving up their money. I worked hard for it. It's my money. They don't recognize that it came from God, and they want to hold on to it. But what should we consecrate to God? We should consecrate our lives. Our lives do not belong to us. We recognize that Christ died and his blood purchased us. It was the ransom price to buy us out of the bondage of sin. So we have a master. Our life is not our own. We live to please our master. We consecrate our lives to our master, not to please ourselves, but to please him. We need to consecrate our children. We need to give them to the Lord. And the time we need to do that is as soon as we can, when they are as young as possible, because if we wait till they get older, many times it's going to be too late. We need to consecrate our money to the Lord. Again, God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't need us. God's not using us to raise money. That's not what the contribution is about. God isn't raising money. God is raising children. And the more we learn to give as much as we can, the more we become like our Father, who gave as much as he could by giving his only begotten Son. We consecrate our money. You see, sometimes when you've been in the church for so many years, you've seen everything. And sometimes people talk about, I just don't have any money to give. But then they have the finest of whatever they want. It's an indication of their heart. And God wants our heart first. And then when we give him our heart, it's easy to give everything else. God, we need to consecrate everything that we have to the Lord. And we need to do that from the heart. And our giving must be in proportion to God's giving. He gives us all. Let's take it up in our prayer. Lord, take it all, every penny I possess. It's all thine. Let's say it's all his. We need to have that mindset, that mentality. We may not know how much we ought to give up and put everything in his hands, and he will teach you if you will wait. We turn everything over to the Lord, and he's going to bless us. And when we recognize that what we have isn't ours, it gives us a lot of freedom. It'll give us a lot of freedom because we don't have to worry about that. And you see people worried about their cars, their houses, their bank accounts, this and that, because they think this is mine and I gotta protect it, I gotta do this with it. Friends, we gotta seek to put the kingdom first. And God's going to take care of all of that other stuff. And people, that's been a lesson that's been hard for people to learn for centuries. It was a problem in the Old Testament. Did they understand that back then? No. And when we come to the end of the Old Testament, Malachi is pretty blunt about the people and how they loved their possessions. Malachi 3 verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. See, they were not giving as they ought to, and what they were giving was the lame, the blind, the sick animals. They were not tithing as they ought to. And God, through Malachi, says, try me. You do what I tell you to do. You do what you are supposed to do, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out so many blessings on you, you aren't going to be able to receive it all. I can bless you so much. And you don't have to worry about your crops. Are you worried about your crops? And, well, I shouldn't give this to the Lord because I might not have another crop later. I'm going to take care of you. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. And what is the effect that this is going to have? The nations are going to know that they are God's people. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Those heathen nations would recognize that God was with them. But they aren't going to recognize that if we don't freely turn our possessions over to God. Verse 5, take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. So we've got to consecrate our heart. And it's interesting too, when I looked up this song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise, let them flow in endless praise. Some of the songbooks have 3 verses, some have 4. The original has 6. And I just think it's a very beautiful thought, and it ties in with 1 Chronicles 29. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Friends, we must consecrate our lives to the Lord. We must want to consecrate our lives for the Lord. For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. It's four very precious thoughts. God is the owner of all and gives all to us. We have nothing but what we receive, but everything we need, we receive from God. It's our privilege and honor to give back to God what we receive from Him. And God has a double joy in His possessions when He receives back from us what He gave us. Friends, we need to strive to consecrate our lives. Lord, I give my life to Thee, Thine forevermore to be. Lord, I give my life to Thee, Thine forevermore to be. We sing that, but do we live that? We need to give our lives to Christ. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that is outside of Christ, that needs prayers, that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.